love it, we hate it, we're all just trying to make it in this crazy town. Pay your dues and you play for free, and you pray for a honky-tonk destiny. Cut your teeth in the smoky bars and live off the tips from a pickle jar. Find a cool new sound and you smile when the record man shoots you down. It's a crazy town full of neon dreams. Everybody plays, everybody sings. Hollywood with a touch of twang. To be a star, you gotta bang, bang, bang. Bend those strings till the hate comes out. Make all the drums.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A popular e-cigarette could be coming back on the market.
It's been almost 2 years since the FDA pulled Juul e-cigarettes off the market, saying the company hadn't provided enough evidence to prove its potential health benefits outweighed the risks, as Juul had claimed. This week, regulators lifted what was called a denial of the cartridges, saying they're now looking into newly published research. The FDA insists this doesn't mean Juul cartridges will be going back on store shelves, and that more study is needed.
ABC's Sherry Preston. The floating humanitarian pier off the coast of Gaza, damaged by rough seas, has been repaired. It was out of commission for nearly 2 weeks. U.S. Central Command says it's been reattached and secured to the beach again. Aid shipments should resume in the coming days into Gaza. President Biden delivered a D-Day speech on the cliffs of Normandy today, saying the threats of Allied forces faced in World War II are at play again with Russia's aggression against Ukraine. This is ABC News. The surprise Netflix hit show Baby Reindeer hit with a new lawsuit from one of the show's possible real-life inspirations.
At the beginning of the Netflix limited series Baby Reindeer, we're told it's based on a true story, the story of star and creator Richard Gadd, a comedian who's tormented by a stalker named Martha.
Martha, can you let go of my hand now, please?
Martha, please let go!
Don't you dare!
Fiona Harvey says the character of Martha is based on her, and she's filed a lawsuit against Netflix, saying since the show debuted, her life has been ruined. She faces death threats, and Gadd and Netflix lied, portraying her as violent and a convicted stalker, and she says none of that is true. She says her pain and suffering is worth at least $170 million and wants a jury trial. Jason Nathanson, ABC News. Hollywood.
With just 50 days to go until the Summer Games get going, Paris organizers unveiled the latest sign of celebration this week, a new display of the five Olympic rings mounted on the Eiffel Tower. Each ring, made of recycled French steel, will remain on the tower until the end of the Paralympic Games in September. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains from June 7th through the 10th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ahlen. With the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee a little more than a month away, some security details are being contested.
Rules approved by the Milwaukee Common Council require people protesting within the convention's general security zone to march a specified route, but that route and other details regarding demonstration sites aren't yet public. The Coalition to March on the RNC and the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin filed a lawsuit Wednesday. They allege rules governing parade and protest activity unlawfully limit where protesters can exercise their First Amendment rights. Meanwhile, U.S. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle says security plans for the convention are still being finalized, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Wisconsin Democrats are holding their annual convention this weekend in Milwaukee. State Party Chair Ben Wakeler says legislative races will be a major focus.
We're looking at flipping state legislative seats and winning an assembly majority and breaking the Republican supermajority in the state Senate. That is a sea change moment.
Wakeler says there will also be plenty of discussion on how to defeat Donald Trump in the crucial state. Trump is expected to accept the Republican nomination for president at the party's convention in Milwaukee next month. Protesters were led out of the University's of Wisconsin Board of Regents meeting Thursday.
About 12 pro-Palestinian protesters interrupted the Regents meeting at UW-Milwaukee, continuing their calls for the UW system to cut ties with Israel over the country's continued attacks on Gaza. Police cited 7 of them for disorderly conduct and escorted them from campus. Campus officials say they respect people's rights to protest, but that guidelines for the meeting meant no one was allowed to shout or hold signs. Raymond Newbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Medicare loses $60 billion annually to fraud. June 3rd through the 9th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. Learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A dry and sunny day today, but we're still battling a breezy wind, gusting up to 30 miles per hour. Otherwise, warmer today with high temperatures tapping the mid-70s. Clouds increase overnight and rain rolls in by the morning. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 70 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Some praise at the World Pork Expo this week, but it also took some shots from the Senate Ag Chair. Jobs data for May was out this morning. And bird flu issues got back in the headlines. We'll cover it all on this week's Free For All.
Live from the beginning of the end of the work week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday Free For All with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer from Pro Farmers Washington Bureau and Tom Sell from Comvest Sell and Associates. Directly following the news, our own Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I, the handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
You know, you can send us on a whole roller coaster of emotions in just, like, a few words, Davis.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning of the end had me all concerned. And then, the beginning of the end of the work week? Here we go, baby!
You
now
see?
I'm all smiles!
Yes, yes, yes. I take joy in batting the emotions of those around me, you know, just one side to the other.
Good, because you're good at it, and you ought to be good at something you love.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Thank you.
Right.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. I'm back in the bunker.
Yeah.
Davis is, Davis never left. I don't know if he ever leaves.
No. I can't. I got this, this thing on my ankle.
It's tethered to the desk.
Yes, the Farm Journal workmate, they call it.
Helps keep you productive. Just stay at your desk and you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Yes. Yes. I've been fitted for many over the years myself.
Yeah. You can't gnaw through those either. I've tried. Trust
no.
me. I've tried.
No.
I got close ones. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they just shatter hacksaw blades too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Forget about it.
Yeah, it doesn't stand a chance. I'm home, man. We are back from the World Pork Expo that was down in Des Moines. Quick trip for me to get back home yesterday afternoon, evening.
Yeah.
Good meeting. Really good gathering of professionals and down there in Des Moines at the World Pork Expo. A great opportunity to talk all things pork, and I think we did. I think we did talk all things pork. Jennifer Scheich, Farm Journal's Pork, did a great job of helping us put together the agenda for our coverage on pork issues while they're in Des Moines. She's going to be with us here in just a little bit. We got the free-for-all coming. Dude, Let's get this thing started.
Right on. Well, National Weather Service is calling for a slight risk of severe thunderstorms over parts of the Central Plains today, a slight risk of excessive rainfall over parts of the Central Plains and Middle Mississippi Valley on Friday, and the Central Southern Plains and Middle Lower Mississippi Valley on Saturday. There are excessive heat warnings and heat advisories over parts of Central and Southern California, the Southwest, and the Great Basin. Is it hot up there, Chip, in Iowa?
No. No, nope. It's beautiful right now. It's 69 degrees, low humidity. The sun is shining. The wind is blowing a little bit. That was what I was going to mention about yesterday. The wind. Oh my gosh. From the Dakotas into the Eastern Belt, the wind was just whipping yesterday. Saw a few dust storms on the way. There was dust storms warnings for Eastern Iowa yesterday. Jeepers, crimey.
Dust storms in eastern Iowa. Wow.
Yeah.
Private exporters have reported sales of 104,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 23-24 marketing year. Nice to see a daily bean sale to China here, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the old crop sale. I wouldn't mind seeing a new crop sale, too.
Well, the U.S. added 272,000 jobs in May, far higher than forecast. Economists polled by Bloomberg had expected a 180,000 point rise in non-farm payrolls last month. The reading is also higher than the average monthly gain of 232,000 over the prior 12 months and 246,000 in the first 4 months of the year. That's a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
The number for April, previously estimated at 175,000, was, hey, look at this, downgraded to 165,000. According to Friday's figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the unemployment rate did climb. That's up to 4% in May. However, employment continued to trend upward in several industries led by healthcare, government, leisure and hospitality, and professional, scientific, and technical services. Chip?
You know, initially the stocks reacted to the downside on ideas that this was a strong enough jobs report that it reduces the odds of an interest rate cut by the Fed. Now, the Dow is trading just very slightly higher. The NASDAQ is still lower here this morning. The S&P 500 is still slightly lower as well. But come on. This was a good news is bad news kind of scenario at the start.
Well, amid four human cases of avian flu in the United States and now a fatal case in Mexico, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack is stressing the need for stepped-up biosecurity and vigilance. A 59-year-old Mexican man who died after being infected with bird flu subtype never before confirmed in humans was already bedridden for weeks with underlying conditions. But before his death, USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack was already stressing the need for heightened biosecurity. And I imagine biosecurity came up at World Pork Expo once or twice, maybe, buddy?
Every conversation, it seemed like. Animal health and biosecurity were right at the top of the list.
Oh, here's one. Another out-of-control cargo ship caused a temporary bridge closure in Charleston. The Arthur Ravenel Jr. Bridge in Charleston, South Carolina. Authorities investigating the cause of the incident, which occurred on Wednesday. Here, and this one resonates with me. Pairwise, a company specializing in genetics-based innovations for food and ag, has developed the world's first seedless blackberry. Studies show more than 30% of berry buyers do not purchase them. Because of the seeds, Chip, I am among that number. I can't have the blackberries because of the seeds. I won't tolerate it, but I'll give them a try without.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just
yes,
because
I will.
Of the seeds. That's
they
crazy.
They get stuck in my teeth. It makes me crazy.
I got gotcha. You.
Can't have it.
I got gotcha. You. I get it.
I'd love blackberry pie, but no.
All right. Well, you know, blackberry sauce on a pork loin is also pretty good stuff. So let's
couldn't
talk about
you.
That. Yeah, we've got Jennifer Scheich, editor of Farm Journal's Pork, with us right now. How you doing, Jennifer?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing real fine, real fine. Great week for Pork Week at Farm Journal, the World Pork Expo. What are your takeaways?
You know, I was just sitting here looking at this notebook. I think I filled up. It looks like this is a journal that has page numbers, and it says I kept 110 pages of notes from this week from meetings that I had with people from all aspects of the industry. And, you know, I guess I just walked away feeling really good about the fact that even though we've been hit with challenge after challenge after challenge, our people in our industry, from whichever standpoint you want, whatever facet it is, they're just always finding ways to be innovative and to use science and to just keep making things better. So, I mean, I walked away just feeling really optimistic. And I guess I think I needed that. It's been hard. It's hard to write about hard times in the industry. And I walked away feeling energized and grateful that I get to serve some of the world's best. And it was a really fun week. And I'm grateful you guys were there.
Well, yeah, thank you for making Pork Week a very productive week for us here at AgriTalk. You know, I'm always looking at the bottom line, the dollars and cents of it all. And I came away from it with an attitude that, yeah, it's not great times out there, but it's a little bit better than what I thought it was. And guys are figuring out how to cope and deal with the tough economic conditions that they are dealing with. All right, Jennifer, good stuff. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
You bet. Jennifer Shike, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. We got the free-for-all coming up next. Jim Wiesmeyer, Tom Sell, Michelson, and me. Rob Clayton is the Senior Vice President in charge of Retail North America at Nutrien Ag Solutions. Rob, let's talk about attracting workers. How is the supply and the talent pool available to the ag industry?
Yeah, well, good people are really at the center of what Nutrien Ag Solutions' value proposition is. And obviously attracting young people to the ag industry continues to be a challenge, not only for us, but for our farmer customers.
So is it a challenge that's unique to any specific segment of the industry, or is it industry-wide?
Yeah, well, again, good people are hard to find, but I think the big challenge that Nutrien Ag Solutions and the whole ag industry is facing is we're trying to fill non-traditional ag roles more and more. So computer technicians, you know, people that are working with all sorts of technology and innovation, where the roles of 20 years ago were more the traditional agronomists and salespeople.
Yeah.
Now we're looking for data scientists and all sorts of roles that really didn't exist 20 years ago.
Yeah, very interesting. So how is Nutrien attracting the right people to the right job?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, highlighting that we do have those roles. We do have a program with CSU, $10 million over 10 years, so a significant funding into that facility. The obvious is the FFAs and so on. We contribute to those. And we do have a two-year grad program that gives our incoming people a really good look around Nutrien. And again, not at just the traditional roles, but at finance and marketing and digital and so on.
Very cool. So if someone is interested in a career at Nutrien, where should they go?
Yeah, well, obviously at Nutrien.com, we've got a website there. But if there's any young grads out there that particularly don't have a background in agriculture, would like to get in, our two-year program's open right now.
Fantastic. Thank you, Rob. That is Rob Clayton, Senior VP in charge of retail in North America for Nutrien Ag Solutions.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin dairy farms contribute an estimated $43 billion to the state economy? No other single product produced in Wisconsin creates a greater economic impact, and milk is the top commodity in Pepin, Pierce, Buffalo, Dunn, and Eau Claire counties. Thank you, dairy farmers, for all your hard work. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Farm First Dairy Cooperative, where it's always been about dairy producers and their cows, as it should be. Visit FarmFirstDairyCooperative.com for more information.
This June Dairy Month, we celebrate our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, and develop the next generation of young leaders. Farm First is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to its members. Thank you to all dairy farm families this June. Visit FarmFirstDairyCooperative.com to learn more about how we put farm families first.
Introducing GrowGetters with Davis Michelson, a podcast that shines light on agriculture's most innovative side hustles. Find the latest episodes on Farm Journal's YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
See, that's the thing with me.
I'm so glad to be back here in the studio.
No, don't blame yourself, Joe. It's the way that I am designed. Yeah. My creator made me this way. Sometimes you just can't shut the music off. You just can't shut it off sometimes. I've tried, brother. I've tried. It's a losing battle.
I'm surprised that you don't come with a soundtrack.
Sometimes you gotta sing. Am I right?
Well, the good news is we have this to look forward to this afternoon as well.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome. Fantastic. All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Let's get this free-for-all started and bring in Tom Sell, Combest Sellers and Associates. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great. Thanks. I got my singing voice ready.
Good. I was wondering if you came, you know, like with walk-up music or anything like that.
If you got two songs, we can play them both at the same time for you.
That's what we do here.
Love it. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. How you doing, Jim?
You don't want me to sing. In the fifth grade, I sang the Do Re Mi's for the music instructor, and he looked at me and said, "You missed every note."
It's jazz, Jim. I haven't sung since.
That was the moment that Jim became a historian.
I feel like it's potential wasted.
Words, not songs.
Love it. All right, guys. Speaking of words, there's lots of them in the House and the Senate versions of the Farm Bill. Jim, do you want to start with the Senate framework, or do you want to start with some of the shots that were fired at the House version of the bill, or do we need to do them both at the same time?
Well, I want to, since we have Tom Sell on, Tom, you know I don't want to put you on the spot, but you wrote an editorial a while back that said with the ag industry, really ag sector, shouldn't pit one region against the other or one commodity against the other, and I agree with that. But, you know, Debbie Stabenow, Senate Ag Committee chairwoman, basically said that this week. If I understood, she cited analysis from the University of Illinois and Ohio State that the House proposal would put the Farm Bill back to a system in place before 2014 where government payments was, you know, whether it's a good time or a bad time. Reference prices by 70% would mainly benefit big farmers in the South.
In the South.
Isn't she falling into that trap, Tom?
You know, we've always taken the attitude, Jim, that, you know, in the ag world, there are enough guns pointing at us from the outside that we needed to try and, you know, build peace within the agricultural community.
Agree.
And, you know, I think the reality is, and we can talk about this, there is big upside for all regions and all crops and all types of growers all over the United States in this House package. It's really impressive to me, and I'll be happy to talk about some of that. Yeah, and it really bothers me when the University of Illinois or FarmDoc, you know, they put out, Illinois is such beautiful land and great land. Under the House package, the projected ARC payments virtually double. As the crop prices are projected to decline, that's a big benefit to Illinois farmers. And so I think there's a bit of a disservice being provided in kind of, you know, people just getting more into the politics and not just getting out there with the facts, that plain cold, hard facts on this farm bill is it does an amazing job, I think, with remarkable balance of improving the safety net no matter where you farm and what you farm. And I think GT deserves a lot of credit for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right on GT deserving the credit for pushing a farmer-friendly bill forward. I'm not too sure that we can say the same thing about the analysis that Stabenow's staff is putting on the House version of the bill. Jim, what's your take?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I am. I agree exactly what Tom had said. We need a consensus within the ag sector. I mean, and for Stabenow to say, you know, that's a big increase in some of these cotton and rice and regions. Look at the increase a few years ago with the Thrifty Food Program, an increase of $255 billion. She doesn't mention that. She doesn't mention the around $20 billion increase in conservation program spending. So, you know, just cherry picking numbers is just not going to do this. What she did say is she thinks that if you've got to have any good odds of a new farm bill, it'll come after the elections, not before. And she may be right there, because it looks like we will not get a consensus prior to November 5th elections.
Right.
Well,
I
really hope, you know, it's in her court now. You know, the House has taken a great positive step. The first step is always the hardest. Kudos to GT again, you know, to get out of the foxhole. And, you know, you're obviously going to take some fire and take some bullets from the critics that are always out there. And a lot of these are kind of from outside the tent, but they kind of disguise as groups that care about the environment or care about, you know, certain farmers that don't really exist. So they all sound good. And he's taking a lot of those bullets. But I think the more people study this bill, the more they'll see. But the whole reason for doing it, you know, we are looking at two consecutive years and likely three going into next year, 25, of declining net farm income, lower commodity prices, remaining high input costs. The farmers of this nation, you know, the family farms all across the nation, big, small, otherwise, they need a helping hand. We're coming off of, you know, 6 years of remarkable ad hoc assistance through MFP, CFAP, and all these things. And the whole reason for doing this farm bill is to replace that ad hoc assistance with something that's more reliable and better, i.e. a farm bill. And that's exactly what GT's done. So,
which is the key that Tom just said. What, four straight years, we averaged about $13 billion in this ad hoc.
Yep.
That I know that the writers of the 2018 farm bill will disagree, but that shows you the weakness of the 2018 farm bill that needs to be improved because you can no longer count on that ad hoc disaster billions of dollars.
That's exactly right.
Right. And here's part of the problem that I've got with the developments this week. Is I know now what Stabenow doesn't like about the House bill. I'm still not sure what's in the Senate version of the bill. Jim, can you help me there?
Well, I want to see CBO budget scores on her bill, because I think what we'll see is a pretty hefty increase in food and nutrition program spending, and I want to see CBO analyze her Title I programs and then compare that to the House Farm Bill. I think it would be very revealing, where she's taken the position she wants to see what the ranking member, John Bozeman, Republican from Arkansas, wants to say. So she's taken an interesting strategy of basically hands off. She may have released a multi-page framework, but it's not text. We need text.
Well, and you can't criticize something that you don't know what it is yet. And it seems like she's – and it's not just her, but that's where the focus is, okay, is on Stabenow and her leadership of the Senate Ag Committee. It seems like she's just waiting for Ranking Member Bozeman to release the framework as he sees it, and the Republicans see it on the Senate side, before she does anything quote unquote official, so that she knows what to counter. Tom, you made a great point earlier. You know, this used to be the coming together of both parties to pass a bill. In other words, it didn't matter if you were Republican or Democrat. If you had ag representation, you worked together on the farm side of the farm bill to go out and talk to the urban lawmakers that we needed support from, to explain to them what they were getting in the nutrition title, to explain to them what they were getting in food security, to explain to them what they were getting in national security because of that. And everybody, the farm community, was working together. That's not happening, is it? That is not happening. The line has been drawn between parties rather than between urban and rural in this farm bill. Is that the right take, Tom?
I mean, I hope not. You know, hope always springs eternal in the mind and heart of Tom Sell. And I'm always a glass half full guy. And really, I think, you know, Chairwoman Stabenow has a great legacy of doing just what you said there, Chip, of kind of bridging the divide, and being a great leader for agriculture. Now I think it's really in her court. I mean, if she can marry John Bozeman's More Farm in the Farm Bill, you know, kind of take the ideas that he's going to publish next week and fashion that in a bill that the committee can work through, you know, not violating her bright lines that she's laid out there. I honestly think you could have a bill that could pass with an overwhelming majority in the Senate, and that really moves the ball forward. So it's, like I said, it's kind of in her court, but I think there's a real opportunity there.
Okay. All right. I hope you are right there, Tom, and I'm going to take your take over that and be optimistic with you on this one. Okay, when we come back, we've got jobs data to talk about. We've got some other issues, interest rates. Let's talk about it next.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Milk markets mostly higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins at the Mercantile Exchange. July milk up 11 to 2002, August up 6 to 2032, September up 10 to 2020, October steady at 1996. Live cattle markets are mostly lower. Feeder cattle are moving mostly higher. Now, live cattle markets are moving mostly lower after reports of bird flu infections in dairy cattle in Iowa and Minnesota, and a person in Mexico dying from the H5N2 virus, also contributing to the cautious tone. Now, feeder cattle moving mostly higher after the cash feeder index was $1.26 higher this week, even though future prices have been under pressure. Meanwhile, hog markets, they are trading mostly higher today. Now, there is a small bearish crack in the cash market starting to develop, as cash hogs were a bit lower at 86.63, but there has been some higher pork cutout values that's still supporting the market. June live cattle rather up 40 cents to 182.22. August feeder cattle up $1.87 to 254.72. June hogs up 37 cents to 92.52. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, wheat, all lower. Risk-off type of trade today really happening in the grain markets, as new crop corn down 4 to 465.5. New crop beans down 11.25 to 11.55¾. July wheat down 10.5 to 6.29.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the Free-for-All. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me, Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, and Tom Sell from Combest Sell and Associates. Guys, at the World Pork Expo this week and had a chance to moderate the NPPC policy panel while I was there. They like this farm bill. Jim, they feel like it tackles a lot of the market development issues. They feel like it tackles a lot of the animal health and disease issues that the NPPC wants to tackle, and they like what it does about Prop 12.
Yeah, you know, everything about that. And as Tom said, GT and his staff and others have a pretty good farm bill that's spread across all the sectors in agriculture, and especially biosecurity when it comes to agriculture. Yep. Chip, I did want to point out that with all the information and analysis coming out from Des Moines on pork, it was ironic that Wednesday Vilsack was in Asheville, North Carolina, and commented that he expressed concerns that the Supreme Court didn't understand the pork market when it upheld California's animal welfare law. Right. Now, that was interesting. Which, in an indirect, is saying the ag sector didn't adequately help out the Supreme Court in educating about the hog sector. That's my version. Okay.
Okay. Well,
but I thought that was how that does that was change? Interesting.
But how does it change anything?
Well, it changes for the future that if in a complex ag issue, you better go back to basics explain to the court. But to bridge this back to the House Farm Bill, Tom helped me on this one. But what GT did is he did a compromise. He told California and Massachusetts for question three, if you want to do it from the state level, fine. But once it crossed interstate, we're going to modify that approach. Is that correct, Tom?
Yeah, that is correct. There was a provision in there. Now, it probably there's a lot of legal uncertainty around this. And as to the Supreme Court case, you know, there's been a lot of criticism on how that case was argued. You know, I think there are a lot of folks who would say if they had to do it over again, they would have done it differently. And what GT tries to do is add some clarity. And then, of course, that's in addition. I think the reason pork supports this bill so strongly, you know, one of the other big factors that's been called upon by, you know, trade groups for a long time is this making additional investments in MAP and FMD to try and build these foreign markets. Obviously, they just announced a $32 billion trade deficit for agricultural products. Our worst ever. We need to be engaged in these foreign markets. So that doubling, a complete doubling of the MAP and FMD funds in this farm bill was a huge deal. There is a lot in here for animal agriculture, including investments in the vaccine bank, the kind of the veterinary countermeasures, investment that we've done, as HPAI is out there. There's, you know, we need the industry infrastructure, the agricultural infrastructure needs some critical investment in this critical in industry. And, you know, I think that's really what the House Farm Bill does.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you both make some great points there on what's being moved forward. I do know this NPPC is very happy with the House version of the bill. And is anxious to get more details on the Senate version and how the two bills will eventually come together. So,
well, as Tom said, I maybe he broke some news here. We didn't know for sure whether or not we knew it was sometime in June that Bozeman was going to release his framework. If my ear heard correct, Tom signaled next week.
Okay. Right,
but
that may be my overly optimistic view of the world, but I know it's coming. Hey,
but here's the bottom line: if it can mesh with Stabenow, then you, as Tom said, you move the ball forward. And traditionally, the Senate passed their bill, the House passed their bill. You go to conference,
right?
Yes, there's going to be some major differences, but that's the part of conference. Work it out.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. Jim, I thought Joe Glauber's comments about the Commodity Credit Corporation and how those funds for CCC have been traditionally used versus how they are being used now, I thought it was really interesting. Get into some of those details.
Well, number one, I totally respect Dr. Joe Glauber from many different levels as an economist, as a trade policy expert. He used to funnel that role as well as a liaison at USDA and, of course, other aspects. But yeah, he says that's the traditional viewpoint of CCC, but I think it has changed. And now, Tom, in your editorial, you got into the House changing the CCC, putting on some guardrails and using some of that perceived savings. Can you get into that?
Yeah, sure. It is on the last 6 years have been completely unprecedented. So this Secretary Perdue, President Trump, after the self-declared kind of trade war on China, said we're going to stand by the U.S. producer and make these very large MFP payments. Right. That had never, nothing like that had ever been done with respect to the use of the CCC. Traditionally, that's a $30 billion kind of line of credit. But the Farm Bill, the legislation by Congress is what tells the Secretary how and when to use it according to the rules. And of course, they hash all those regional differences and commodity by commodity differences out in the committees of Congress, the Senate Ag Committee, the House Ag Committee. So the Farm Bill kind of directs the Secretary. We've always had that Section 5, original kind of authority of the CCC Charter Act, but secretaries had been prior to 6 years ago very reticent to use that only in very exceptional circumstances. So that's what now Congress and particularly the Budget Committee Chairman in the House has been looking at to say, we need Congress to take back the reins. It's not the best type of policy. We understand emergency authorities, but we've now kind of created an entitlement. And that's what Joe Glauber was talking about over the last 6 years. And so Jody Arrington, as Budget Committee Chairman, said, we have got to empower Congress to take back the reins and write a more robust Farm Bill that actually invests and provides a more fair and more stable and more reliable safety net that rural America can make plans on instead of this kind of hand-to-mouth ad hoc stuff, which doesn't serve the taxpayer well, doesn't serve the farmers well. It always feels good in the moment, but I think we would all agree you could do better in a Farm Bill. And that's exactly what Jody Arrington, as Budget Committee, tried to empower GT to do. So, there's a lot of flag out there about GT having used Thrifty Food Plan offsets to fund his Title I. It's simply untrue. What GT did was work with his House Budget Committee chairman to find, credible offsets of the CCC, not totally eliminating the Secretary's emergency authority, but putting some sideboards around that so that Congress could take back the power, write a fair-minded Farm Bill. I think it's kind of a little known story. It's very kind of in the weeds and very inside baseball in Washington, D.C., but it was a really brilliant thing that GT and Chairman Arrington did.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Guys, let's talk a little bit more politics here, and I'm going to go to South Dakota. Got tagged in a tweet earlier this week following the primaries on Tuesday that in the state, I believe it was the state house race, that several Republicans, sitting Republicans, that supported the pipeline, the CO2 pipeline in the state, Jim, were defeated. And they may be incumbents, but they're not going to be on the ballot come November. And the big reason there is because of the CO2 pipeline.
Yeah, at least 14 Republican South Dakota state legislatures. That was a loud signal, and that shows you the sensitivity of that issue. Now, I want to underscore here, Representative Dusty Johnson is at the Washington level, but he advanced from the Republican primary, so he was not impacted here.
Okay.
Yeah, but it definitely was a clear signal in South Dakota.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt. There are some other things happening in the ag industry that are giving us clues of how tough it is out there. Look at the layoffs that are happening at John Deere. Look at the layoffs at Bridgestone Tire Plant in Des Moines. They make tractor tires for Deere, CNH. The equipment side of things, guys, seems to be slowing down, at least on the new. When we talk with Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, there's a little bit of a slowdown in the used machinery market. But, Jim, this is troubling and what it might mean for the ag economies.
One of the first things I learned 50 years ago, Chip, when I was at Doan Ag Service, my initial mentor, was that track John Deere sales, because that's the best barometer of U.S. net farm income. And he was uncannily correct, and this doesn't bode well. Deere also is moving some of their production facilities to Mexico. I don't think that's a good sign either.
Right. And that did not go unnoticed from some of the conversations that I had in Des Moines this week. That was brought up a couple of times, and not with very kind words to go along with it. That is for sure.
Nonetheless, okay, they're a good company with good equipment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely, that is true, and something that we'll need to continue to watch. Okay, when we come back, let's talk about some jobs data. Better than expected jobs growth in May. What's it mean for interest rates going forward?
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that in 1890, the nation's first dairy school was created at UW-Madison? That year, Stephen Babcock created the milk fat test that allowed dairymen to determine which cows produced the richest milk, the best for cheesemaking. That test is still used today, and UW-Madison remains the country's top dairy science department. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Security Financial Bank, serving Wisconsin's dairy industry for over 80 years. Visit sfbank.com for more information. Security Financial Bank, member FDIC.
At SFB Security Financial Bank, our agricultural relationship managers don't just know about banking, they possess hands-on experience in the agriculture industry. With long-term expertise and first-hand knowledge of the industry, our staff has your agricultural banking needs covered. Contact us today to learn how we can help. Security Financial Bank, Black River Falls, Bloomer, Durand, Eau Claire, Ladysmith, and River Falls. Member FDIC.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric spray-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric spray-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
And manager for Coron and Nutritionals with Helena Agri Enterprises joins us. Jason, all this rainfall that we've got, how is that going to impact crop nutrition this season?
Yeah, but it's definitely going to have an impact on nitrogen. I mean, the kind of weather we've had really across the country just creates prime conditions for leaching, denitrification. I mean, more than likely, a lot of farmers are going to be dealing with some level of nitrogen loss this year. And that really makes it very important to go out with a foliar application this summer to restore those nitrogen levels as the crop demand increases.
Okay, so if that's going to be a priority, tell me about Helena's foliar nitrogen product.
Well, that is Coron Metra. It's our foliar fertilizer with controlled release nitrogen technology that we've been perfecting at Helena for over 25 years. It's an incredibly sustainable and efficient way to deliver nitrogen to the crop. Coron Metra is designed to adhere to that leaf surface and then allow that plant to just slowly absorb nitrogen over a period of time. And then because it's foliar, we can also time Coron Metra applications to key uptake periods to provide the nutrition when it really is needed the most.
Perfect. What are some of the other benefits from Coron Metra?
Coron Metra also contains our ENC formulation technology. And what this does is increases nutrient uptake. It also enhances tank mix compatibility and minimizes spray application problems. So you can apply Coron Metra easily with your fungicides and insecticides by ground or air. And then again, you can make sure that that crop is taking full advantage of that nitrogen application exactly when it needs it.
Perfect. Jason, where can we go for more information?
You can always visit HelenaAgri.com for more information and to find your local Helena representative.
Thank you, Jason. That is Jason Gregory, brand manager of Coron and Nutritionals with Helena Agri Enterprises.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
We're living in the age of smart. Smartphones, smart cars. Heck, they even got smart refrigerators. And now, there's SmartFoil by Agroxy. Nah, it ain't for your kitchen. It's a biological foliar application for soybean growers. Specifically, the ones that know you gotta protect your beans at flowering if you want yield. SmartFoil reduces environmental stress, like heat and drought when it matters most, giving you better pod count and yield potential. It's the smart thing to do for your soybeans. So ask your retailer about SmartFoil by Agroxine or visit BigBeanBloom.com to learn more.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the free-for-all. I'm Chip Flory, got Davis Michelson, Jim Wiesmeyer from Pro Farmer, and Tom Sell, Combest Sell and Associates, with us today. Guys, and let's start with you, Jim, but employers added 272,000 jobs in the month of May, topped expectations, which were in that 180 to 190,000 range. There were some minimal revisions to the March and the April data. It combined for just 15,000 fewer jobs, and the unemployment rate still went up to 4%. What do you make of all of this?
It makes next week's CPI report very important, Chip, because that will probably give the best odds of whether or not you're going to get a cut in September. Forget it in June and forget in July. But I still have to be convinced the Fed is going to cut in September. So I'm going to let the data, as the Federal Reserve Chairman always says, they're going to be data dependent. Well, we're going to get some data, CPI, next week.
Yeah. There were employment numbers that, as we said in the news, Jim, and you, from your commentary, that continue to trend up, including, well, government, let's leave that alone, but also leisure and hospitality. Is there anything to be taken from increases in employment in leisure and hospitality?
Well, I travel, and Tom travels a lot, and you know, all these add-ons of at hotels, they're just like takes a half a page at some hotels. You know, they dollar you to death, you know? Yeah. And I think it's the past post-COVID, I think we're still seeing a lot of travel. And it's going on. And the wage now is going up, what, 4.1% wage gains over a year.
Yep.
Now that's above the rate of inflation.
That's so above.
There you go there.
Yep. Yeah, I have not run the numbers all this morning to see exactly where we stand over the last 3 years, but the affordability thing is still an issue. And, guys, it kept coming up in Des Moines this week with the price of beef as it compares to the price of pork, and how pork is such a value in the meat case right now compared to other protein alternatives. So, the hog market is looking for some good to come from everything that's happening out there as far as, regarding pork demand, total pork demand going forward. Anything else that we can take from the jobs data, guys? Did you see anything? All right. let's move on from that. High path, bird flu found in Iowa dairy herd. It's the first Iowa dairy herd. In Iowa, we've also got a 4 million hen egg-laying facility, a facility with 100,000 turkeys this week confirmed. And, Jim, as you, well, as Davis was talking about, we've been talking about the bird flu human death in Mexico. H5N2 is what that was linked to. But that person had been bedridden for 3 weeks with some other health issues. It's not stopping the headlines from being written that we need to watch out for bird flu, guys.
Yeah.
Jim.
Well, and as we said early on, Chip, the more you test, the more you're going to find, and that's going to continue. Yeah. The story has legs. It has legs.
Yeah, I think it does. Davis, do you?
Well, I do. In my own personal life, I got a text from one of my daughters yesterday asking, "Dad, I heard some guy died from this bird flu thing. This is getting scary," was the comment. Well, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. But when we talk about the urban-rural gap, I feel like, you know, there's a little bit of that at play here, too. Just not understanding, and to some that might be sort of scary. There's a weird disease on farms, on dairies. Oh, what are we going to do?
Right. Is it in my food?
Know, it's easy to, it's easy for that to get run, to an extreme, I guess.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's right.
With all the lessons we should have learned on COVID, right?
Yes.
Right.
Let's not create the same problems.
That's exactly right. I hope we do not. Tom, what did you make of President Biden's executive order to deal with border issues?
Well, I'd say there's a big political issue there, and he, you know, he needed to do something because it's an area of big concern. It's just, you know, it begs the question, well, you know, why now? Why this late? Obviously, this has been a persistent issue for you know, years now, You know, the practical reality of the executive order, you know, we'll have to wait and see. Yeah. But you know, this has been a big political liability for President Biden and for Democrats generally. So I just read it more as a political statement than anything, and the proof will be in the pudding.
Okay. All right. Jim, should we be convinced that President Biden is still going to be the nominee of the Democrats?
Boy, it's getting really late. You'd have to, I think, if they hold the first debate, what, the 27th of this month?
Yeah.
I think that'll be the determinator amongst the superdelegates in the Democratic convention. So well, I'm going to wait until that first debate.
Is it possible that I heard on the radio as I was driving around and not paying too close attention that some people are already voting by mail-in ballot? Is that a thing, or was I listening to something else and was confused?
I'd have to see certain states. It seems early even for that, Tom. I know you can vote early, but I don't think this early.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I can check in on that. I thought one of the reasons for having the first debate before July 1 was to get the debate done before anybody started voting by mail-in.
Mm-hmm. See, that was,
but I don't know.
I must have heard it wrong. Yep.
Okay. All right. Guys, thank you so much for making time for us. Tom, have a great weekend, buddy, and we will talk to you again soon. We need great your input on this farm bill process, man. Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Bye.
All right. Jim Wiesmeyer, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again very soon. Talk to you next week. All right. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Tom Sell, Combest Sell and Associates. Davis, come back this afternoon, okay?
Yeah, will do. Can't wait.
Excellent. We've got Ryan Wagner from Bolt Marketing. We're going to get a crop update from Ryan. He's also a farmer in Northeast South Dakota. So we'll get an update on that and talk what's going on in the markets. Monday morning, of course, Machinery Pete right here on AgriTalk.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing.
And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our farmer's first philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
With your choice of select sandwich, nugs, fries, and a drink, Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag is your go-to. Your nugget wingman. Your hot and crispy fry co-pilot.
Just like us. We're like the bag boys.
What?
Bag boys, bag boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?